and I memorized it, and I reminded myself of it when I went to the gym, was never far from me. Are you ready for it?
Welcome to Hoop Chuck Basketball Podcast, where it's all about raising your game so your coach won't think you're lame. And now your host, Moses and Troy Horn.
What is up, everybody?
Hi.
It's Monday morning.
You're singing again.
And we are going to do an episode here with Manawatsa from Point Guard College, which is pretty cool. Because you're reading that book that actually the founder of Point Guard College created, Dick DiVincenzo, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. And it's called what?
Stuff Players Should Know.
Yes, it's a good book that you should go pick up, Dick DiVincenzo. The book is called Stuff Good Players Should Know. And before you go to Point Guard College, because I know you guys are going to go to Point Guard College, because I'm sure we have a lot of point guards listening in here, read the book. And that way, when you get there, you'll be like one up on everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So what did you think about this podcast interview?
I think it was pretty cool. I think it was a great one.
He says as he texts his friend.
What?
Yeah, so it's like, stay here, man. Focus. Focus.
I am focused.
My gosh, your kids these days and these devices. Kids, you kids.
All right. So
one thing that was really cool was he started his own camp when he was 15. Remember that?
Yes. Why are you spoiling?
Oh, sorry. Okay. So he's a very entrepreneurial kind of guy. There's some really great stuff in here, and I'm sure you're going to love it. Before I spoil anything else, here we go, the interview, Manawatsa, Point Guard College. And if you haven't already, go to hoopchalk.com/summercamp or something like that. There's a tab there. Put your name in, and we'll send you a list of our summer camps that we think are great as we get the list finished. Anyways, Manawatsa, Point Guard College, here we go. See you on the inside of the interview.
Peace.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hoop Chalk Basketball Podcast. My name is Troy Horn. I'm here with
Moses Horn.
And today we have on Manawatsa from Point Guard College. Mano, can you say hello?
Yeah. Hi, Troy and Moses. Great to be on with you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into you introducing yourself and introducing yourself to the audience, you actually worked with the author of Stuff. Dick DiVincenzo, right?
Yeah. In fact, Point Guard College was started by Dick, and I actually attended Point Guard College when I was in high school with Dick, and he became a mentor to me, and I stayed in touch with him after the camp and for several years until he rather suddenly passed away at the age of 51. And now we have the privilege of continuing on his legacy and helping players and coaches understand the intelligent pursuit of excellence in sports.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, can you introduce yourself and tell us about your basketball journey and who you are for everyone listening who hasn't, looked you up and read your stuff?
Yeah, certainly. So my name is Manawatsa, and I serve as a president and owner of PGC Basketball. Point Guard College is one of our courses that we offer, along with our Playmaker College and our Skills Academy camps as well. And I've had the privilege of leading PGC for the past decade. And before that, well, if we get into it, I can kind of share a little bit of my history in basketball, but love the game, love playing, love coaching, love leading our summer camps and training others to do the same. And for us, it's all about positively impact the basketball world.
So I read that you started your own basketball camp in your backyard when you were 15. What was that like?
Well, it was kind of funny, that Moses, that first summer, because I was 15 and I wasn't even a starter on my JV team.
Nice.
And so when I started the camp, I was working in the fields the previous summer, harvesting tomatoes and picking pickles, and I realized that that wasn't really my calling.
Nice.
That definitely wasn't my passion. And so but I went to lots of basketball camps growing up in my hometown in Windsor, Ontario, just across the border from Detroit. And so I knew that I didn't want to work a job that would prevent me from being able to play lots of basketball, get better, and go to camp. So I thought, I need something that I can do for a few of the weeks in the summer, but not the whole summer. And then a friend of mine was starting swimming lessons in her backyard pool.
Nice.
And I suddenly had the idea, wait a minute, if she can do swimming lessons in her backyard, why couldn't I do basketball lessons in my backyard? But then instead of it being lessons, I thought, well, what if I actually did a camp? And so the very first week I did, we had 8 kids. Now, I was volunteering at my middle school with the 5th and 6th grade team and at the school that I had attended. So I already had about a dozen kids that that I knew. And so I created a little brochure.
Nice.
And the coach gave it out, and 8 kids signed up for the camp. It was from 8 in the morning till noon for 5 days, and I charged $25, and lo and behold, 8 kids came, and then I did it later on in the summer, and 9 kids came, and I said, progress.
Right? That is cool. I mean, a lot of, you know, that's pretty awesome. That is pretty
awesome.
Yeah, and
so the next summer I decided to do it for 4 weeks, and I only had one hoop in my parents' backyard, but then the second year I thought, I need another hoop, so I went and found, got a portable hoop and put up a second net, and then we had 20 kids a week for 4 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Third summer, my last year of high school, we then had about 35 kids a week for 4 weeks. So then it had kind of turned into something, Moses, where, you know, local newspapers were doing stories on me, and suddenly it became Manawatsa, the basketball camp director, and that made me want to get even better at basketball, because I wanted to have something to teach. And, you know, when you're trying to aspire to anything, the more compelling reasons you have for achieving something, the more likely you are to achieve it. And so for me, becoming a college basketball player wasn't just for me, but I thought, I've got all these kids coming to my camps. It would probably really help the camp if I got good enough to be a college player, and I'd have a lot more to teach them because I'd get a lot of great coaching. So I ended up having lots of reasons to train really hard to want to get better at basketball, not just for my own, you know, ambitions. And so I ended up attending Point Guard College, and that 5 days changed everything, including how I ran my camps, because then I came back and applied what I had learned and made my camps that much better. And the rest was kind of history. I got to college, and I don't know how I got this idea, Troy, but sometime early on, I decided to, early on in my first year of college, somebody said, do you have any sponsors? And I said, no. And then I thought, why don't I have sponsors? So then I reached out to Wilson and Converse, who was really big at that time, and Gatorade. And all three, I'll never forget, Converse said, Mano, we want to make you a Converse man. And they dressed me head to toe in everything Converse related, and all of our staff. And Wilson gave us about 50 or 100 basketballs.
Nice.
And then Gatorade sent us all sorts of things. And all of a sudden, the camp became a little more official, and we jumped to 50 kids a week. And Moses, by the time I got done college, we had 7 hoops in my backyard, and we had 100 to 120 kids a week coming to the camp.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is really
cool. So that was it, but I never would have guessed. I didn't even think I was going to do it through college. It's just that the camps kept growing, and they went from 8 kids to 20 kids to 35 kids to 50 kids, and suddenly I thought, well, maybe I won't. All my friends used to say, when are you going to get a real job? I thought, well, maybe I don't have to get a real job.
Right? I've got 100 kids coming a week. I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So it helped to pay for some of college. And and by the time I got done college, I realized this might actually be able to turn into a career. And we've got so many kids. And I thought, what if I start some camps in my college town? Because I'd become a successful college player, and I thought, I bet there'd be a lot of kids there. And that's when I started my first residential camp. And we partnered with a local camp facility and started offering camps. And then I started speaking at schools during the year as an inspirational speaker. And so as I did that, it gave me the opportunity to promote the summer camps. And the rest is history.
Nice. Well, did you play like club basketball as a kid, or was it mostly, you know, rec stuff? Or like, how did you do it as a kid?
You know, I grew up in a small town, and so this small farming hockey community.
Nice.
Because I grew up in Ontario, Canada, so hockey was number one, baseball number two, basketball was like number 25.
Right.
So I loved the game, but I was fortunate to have a middle school coach who loved the game as well. And so he got me hooked on the game really young and picked me up every morning at 6:15 in the morning, wow, along with about five other kids, and took us to the school, and we practiced from 6:30 till 8:30 every day.
Wow.
So that was how I really kind of got started. But then when I got to high school, we didn't have a program, meaning we had a program, but this was literally my high school experience. We played 13 games a season, and we probably only had about 15 to 18 practices in the whole year.
Wow.
Our basketballs were so bad, I had to bring my own basketball at home because the basketballs were in such rough shape. And so my high school, and we didn't have any club basketball in the area.
Right.
And so what I had to do, Moses, was I had to just decide if it was going to happen, I was going to have to diligently practice. Sure. And so that's what I did before school. Because my middle school coach had kind of gotten me ingrained in that habit for 3 years, picking me up every morning, even when I got to high school and I didn't have him with me, I continued to train for 1 or 2 years out in my backyard before school. And then in my later years, a custodian, a janitor at the high school, opened the gym up for me every night so I could go train. And so so I had to really, I wasn't able to benefit from the competition that I needed. And so that's when I made the decision, do you know what, it's really tough to get to the level you need to get to just practicing on your own, because you need a combination of two things, your own training and competition.
Right.
And so what I ended up doing was driving about 30 minutes to the local college, and I played against guys much older than me, and that really helped me improve quickly. But then later on in my high school years, I was fortunate to have a coach that decided to start a club program just for me.
Oh,
he wanted,
wow,
to see me have the, like, wow, basketball. He started the club program in my 10th grade year. And he ran it for 4 years. So in Canada, back then, there wasn't just 12th grade. There was actually 13th grade.
Oh, wow.
And so there were kind of two senior years in Ontario, Canada back then. So I played 4 years with him. And he developed this really successful program. And interestingly enough, even though it became really successful, the year I went to college, he stopped the team. And I said, why did you stop the team? It's become so successful. And he said, I only started it for you.
Wow.
So he said, now that you're done, I'm done. And so, you know, when you're fortunate to have a coach like that,
yeah,
you know, you can do some special things sometimes when you have special people who do some special things to give you opportunities. And now, Moses, I'm 41 years old, and I still go back and visit all three of my coaches, my middle school coach, my high school coach, my college coach. I visit them every year. In fact, my high school and middle school coach came to my camps every year. They'd come and speak to the kids because,
nice,
I ran the camps in my parents' backyard for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't stop the camps. In fact, even when I was leading PGC, I would still go home to my parents' place for 1 week in the summer, because then my own kids, who are now 17, 15, and 13, they started attending the camp as well.
Nice.
And I didn't want them to miss out on having the opportunity to experience the camps in my parents' backyard.
Yeah,
so I kept,
man,
1 week going. But the funny thing was, you'll laugh at this, Troy, when I went home and did the 1 week of camp, everybody in my hometown thought that I had never left the hometown, my hometown, and I was running our Point Guard College, and we were running, you know, camps across North America, but everyone in my hometown thought that I was still living with my parents and just running my basketball camp in my parents' backyard as my job. So
that's,
they,
awesome,
didn't realize I was just coming home for that week, but yeah, that's my background.
Nice, nice.
Do you think college coaches look at club or circuit ball players differently than non-circuit ball players?
You know, I spent 5 years as a college assistant men's coach and 3 years as a head college women's coach at my alma mater, the University of Waterloo, just outside of Toronto, Ontario. And I think in light of how many players play club basketball, AU basketball, I don't think coaches look at it any differently. You know, you might be interested to know, I mentioned before we jumped on for this episode that Jamal Murray from the Denver Nuggets grew up in my hometown.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, his dad didn't allow him to play AU basketball until he got to 10th grade. His dad wanted him just to focus on development, not competition. And so, Jamal's a really unique guy. His dad also didn't allow him to have a phone until he went to Kentucky.
I like that.
So throughout his entire high school years, he didn't have, because his dad didn't want him to get distracted by social media.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that a lot.
I tried to hold out with my kids as long as I could, Troy.
Right.
They made it to 9th grade before we got them phones.
Definitely. Definitely. That's cool. Well, talking about stuff, did you actually worked with Coach Dick DiVincenzo. So what was he like? I mean, you know, we read the book and we know, like, you know, kind of him through his writing. But what was he like in person?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, Dick DiVincenzo was such a unique man. First of all, just a brilliant writer. His best-selling book, Stuff Good Players Should Know, mm-hmm. has been heralded by everyone in the basketball world, from Dean Smith to Larry Brown to John Wooden. And his other books, Think Like a Champion and Running the Show, are just, you know, some of the best books ever written about the game and about how to think the game and how to think like a champion. So Dick himself was such an interesting guy from the perspective of he was an advocate of things that were not just unpopular. And let me give you an example. He debated Dean Smith on 60 Minutes.
Nice.
And this would have been back in the early 1990s, discussing, debating the topic of whether college players should be paid.
He was
an advocate that the college system was broken and that something needed to be overhauled in the system because these college players weren't getting their fair due. He was an advocate for that, and as a result, he didn't really mind going. I think he even liked going against the grain. And so, he would say things. You know, I think of some of the camps I attended. A couple of programs with him, and he would say things that would just shock everyone.
And that is a great place to take a break. What is up, everybody?
Hi.
Distracto Man is over there playing with light.
No, I'm like not.
Anyway, as summer is coming up.
Balance something.
And summer's coming up, and what do people usually do in the summer?
They go to summer camps.
Basketball summer camps. And you know what our biggest worry for me as a parent for basketball summer camps was?
Nope.
That we're going to waste our freaking time. And that you're going to go there. Actually, it happened a couple times. We're not going to name any camps. We're just going to give you guys the good camps that we went to. But it happened a couple times where you went to camps and it was like, you know, hey, today we're going to work on one-handed dribbling with your eyes open, watching the ball. It wasn't really that bad, but it was kind of like, you know, not so great. And then, I'm not going to go into it. Anyways, the thing that people worry about as parents is I want to make sure that I find a great camp for my kid. I want to make sure that I send my kid to a place that either is going to help him hang out with his friends or help him get exposure or help him get better or help her do whatever, you know, become a better basketball player, whatever it is. Well, right now we're putting together a list of basketball camps that we've attended and that we've liked and ones that are coming up. We're also going to do some interviews coming up with the heads of basketball camp programs so that you guys can hear exactly from the straight from the horse's mouth.
Never
heard that? Straight from the horse's mouth?
Straight from the horse's mouth.
That's
interesting.
Right. It's a colloquialism. You'll hear it soon. Well, actually, you just heard it, so there you go. You can hear straight from them exactly what their camps are and what they are about and go out there and register for the ones that fit your needs. So, with that being said, everybody go to hoopchalk.com/summercamp. Again, that's hoopchalk.com/summercamp. And sign up for that list. And as soon as we get this done, we will send it out to you so that you can get your free guide to how to pick a summer camp and some of the summer camps that we would suggest that you go to.
Yeah.
Now back to the show.
In fact, he gave out All-Stars. He used to put on a really big exposure camp. And I sat there in the front row, and he was giving out the All-Star Awards. And there were about 400 kids, many of them going to be recruited to top colleges. And he said, you know, if we were to go play another one of the top camps, like Five Star, which was really big back then, and we were going to take our top players from our camp up to play theirs, here is who I would take. And he selected these All-Stars, and the first couple were like the biggest and best rebounder, the best shooter, the best point guard. But then once he got past the starting lineup, he called to the stage some guy that nobody would have expected.
Huh.
And everyone was surprised because they were giving out legitimate awards, like a gym bag full of stuff, shoes, a basketball, gear, for being an All-Star. And he called up this player and he said, now, you guys might think Johnny can't play worth a lick. And you're actually probably right.
Huh.
But if we had to go play five-star, we'd need a bus to get up there. And you don't know this, but Johnny's dad is actually a bus driver.
Nice.
And so Johnny would make my All-Star team because we'd need a bus to be able to get up there. So Johnny, come on up and receive your award.
Nice, nice.
And everyone was just shocked. Like, oh my goodness, is he really calling Johnny up as an All-Star and giving him an award because his dad's a bus driver? And anyway, he went through the rest of the lineup, including calling up somebody who also, he said, probably couldn't play worth a lick, but his dad was a lawyer. And he said, and with this team and cast of characters, we'd probably need a lawyer if we went all the way up to play those guys. So, and he legitimately gave out All-Star awards. And what he was trying to teach was that there's always politics in play.
Right,
and it's never as simple as just the 12 best players. And so he used to always say, you know, the coach's son is always going to make the team.
Right.
You're not competing against the coach's son. You're competing against the other 11 guys for a spot on the team.
Right.
So he wanted to teach that lesson that, A, life isn't fair.
Right.
There might have been many of you who think you should have been an All-Star, but your dad's not a bus driver,
right,
and Johnny's was. So Johnny's my All-Star. And so he had a really interesting way of seeing the world and a really interesting way of teaching life lessons to players.
That's very cool.
Yes. So I'm reading stuff right now and love it. What was your favorite part of the book, and what section do you think is most applicable to today's game?
Oh, you know, it's a great question. I'm just holding the book right here in front of me as I've got, I've always got a copy not too far away. One of the neat things about the book Stuff Good Players Should Know, as you'll know, Moses, as you're reading it right now, is that every chapter is on a different topic, and you can kind of just open it up and find one or two pages on what you should do with the basketball if you're winning and it's the last 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
But then you could turn the page and find one on being a hustle cat and the value of out-hustling everybody else consistently. And then you can turn the page and find another chapter on leadership. Both in Stuff Good Players Should Know and Think Like a Champion, one of the things I loved was how simple he made it to understand concepts and things that made me go, yeah, that makes absolute sense. I just wonder why I had never thought of that. But I love his couple chapters that he has on the acronym SHAPE, which is basically a leadership acronym that we teach at all of our PGC courses, and it's really learning how to shape yourself and how to shape others around you and shape your team. And so so I love those leadership principles that he writes about.
That's very cool. Well, as a coach and mentor, what one thing would you say is a common occurrence or a common problem that young players struggle with today, you see, coming into PGC or in life?
I'm actually coaching three teams this year. I coached my daughter's team in middle school. I'm coaching my son's varsity team right now, and then I'll coach his AAU team. And so both with players that come to PGC and the players I coach, a couple things. One is, I think there's been such a big focus in social media and ESPN on highlights.
Yes,
that
yes.
Players get caught up in trying to make a highlight play. Can I break somebody's ankle?
Right.
Um, knock somebody down.
Right.
And as opposed to just focusing on getting better and playing team basketball. So I think, especially as I go to different AU tournaments, you know, Toronto's got some of the best basketball in the world right now at the high school level.
Nice.
And when I've been to some of the AU tournaments, it's surprising just how individualistic the play is. And everybody playing for their shot as opposed to playing team basketball. So that's one of the trends, one of the trends that I see. The second trend that I see as a challenge with young players is that we're kind of in the microwave generation where everybody wants things immediately.
Right,
you know,
right.
And you know, that kind of you can't fast food or microwave improvement.
Right. Takes time.
So one of the things that I see is a lot of players who want to be good, but then they're not investing the time to get good.
Right.
And so, but I meet a ton of players who claim they want to be good. But it's a whole different story to actually put in the time. So I see that as being a challenge. It's probably across all sports, and I think it's really part of our culture nowadays that it's not easy to put in the work now for the success that you'll experience later.
Yeah.
And I love this quote, Moses, this quote by Dick DiVenzio. And if you want to know a great quote to hang on to and remember the rest of your career, the moment I heard Dick DiVenzio share it in the Point Guard College course, I wrote it down in my notes and I memorized it and I reminded myself of it when I went to the gym. And so this thought in my training was never far from me. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
Mm-hmm. So here it is. Championship games are not won on the night of the big event, but years earlier by players who commit themselves to championship principles each day.
Nice.
Let me say that again for you. Championship games are not won on the night of the big event. They're not won on the night of the NCAA championship game.
Right.
They're won years earlier by players who commit themselves to championship principles each day. So when it's October or November, depending on high school or college, and you're just starting the season, what you do that day to get better will determine whether you even have the opportunity to play in a championship game and whether you're ready for it. So that was my all-time favorite quote from Dick.
Nice. Well, I mean, since this all is around stuff and PGC camps, can you tell us about your camps and basketball programs that you guys offer at Point Guard College?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when Dick created Point Guard College, which has now become PGC, as we have players of all positions attend our Playmaker College courses, our Skills Academies for younger players, and then ultimately our flagship program, the Point Guard College Camp or course, as we like to call it. But one of the things Dick did was rather than at another camp that has some fundamentals and skill work and you rotate around to different stations as most typical camps do, and then in the afternoon you roll out the balls and let the kids play and scrimmage or play games.
Right.
Dick created a 4-in-1 camp experience. And the four different pillars that are woven into every PGC camp are teaching the ability to think the game. And number two, playmaking skills. Number three, leadership. And number four, mindset. Developing a champion's mindset. And so those four, learning how to think the game, learning how to read the defense, learning how to make different decisions on the court or better decisions, learning how to do things that reduce the likelihood of turnovers, all of those different things, learning how to get to the free throw line 5 to 7 more times a game, all of those things are how to think the game. And then playmaking, being able to create opportunities for yourself and others. And then leadership, learning how to lead yourself so that others want to follow, and then learning how to lead others. And then finally, mindset. It's the mental toughness and learning how to overcome any challenge or any adverse circumstance. So one of the things that Dick created was this unique full immersion learning environment, because it's 5 days and 4 nights for all of our residential courses. You sleep at the college, and basically it's morning, noon, and night. Basketball.
Nice.
Every session starts in the classroom, where you hear it, And then you see it on film, everything nice. We're teaching, all college and pro players using the habits that we teach and sometimes failing to use the habits that we teach. And then they get on court and do it. And so each PGC session has 2 to 3 hours of interactive classroom sessions and film sessions, and then 6 to 7 hours each day on court. So it's really an intense, demanding learning environment, really kind of a no-nonsense learning environment. There's no swim breaks. There's no
right?
trips to a no trips to a petting zoo. There's no excursions, no NBA players showing up for autograph sessions. It is just pure basketball. Okay. And for players that love the game, that's what they want
right.
from us.
Do you guys have any online courses that players can participate in?
Yeah, great question. We have a program that we call 365 Training, and on our website it actually says train online in the top right corner of the website. And we created 365 Training as an opportunity for players to benefit from the types of drills and skills and things we teach at PGC. We also created 30-day challenges that you could take a challenge, both a basketball challenge and an off-court life challenge, and can do that challenge for 30 days to focus on really significant improvement in one skill area. So while we don't have any specific courses online, we do have our 365 training, which players can pick up for about, it's a subscription program for about $20 a month. Players
wow.
can pick it up and benefit from it.
Well, that's cool. So it's kind of like you get to see, because I've been on there, and you get to see like some of your trainers and coaches kind of walk you through some of the exercises and ideas and teachings that you guys do at Point Guard College, you know, in the event
yeah.
that they can't come to one this summer, or maybe they're looking to come next summer. But in the interim, they can kind of study up and get ready for that experience online.
Exactly, Trey. And, you know, we have players who have attended PGC from over 65 countries. But there's a lot of players who can't travel internationally or even in North America. A session doesn't work with their schedule, or they can't get to it. And so they can benefit from training online with us.
That's pretty cool. Well, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. As a parent, okay, we spend like so much time in the gym with these kids and, you know, running into this and that or getting them up in the morning, you know, to go to practice. So, I mean, we've done like all these different kind of drills and stuff like that. What one skill would you say or would you suggest a young basketball player work on if you could only pick one, knowing what you know now?
Yeah, you know, I think some of our PGC directors and I would differ on this.
Cool.
Hey, so, you know, this is not end-all and be-all, and be-all and end-all, but I would start with being a great ball handler.
Okay.
I think there's a level of confidence that a player gets if they know how to handle the rock.
Right.
And then I would very quickly move on to then becoming a great shooter.
Nice.
But if a player is a great shooter, but they don't know how to really handle the ball well, there can definitely be a spot for them, and they can still have a significant impact on the game. But I think every player needs a bare minimum standard of their ball handling abilities. And so I found in my game, and maybe it's skewed because this is how I learned the game, I became a good ball handler before anything else,
mm-hmm.
and it got me hooked on the game, and it allowed me to be able to play. Because I knew how to take care of the rock no matter
right.
who I was playing against. And so where I've seen some really good shooters who weren't very strong in ball handling, and so they'd have a lot of turnovers and coaches would lose confidence in them. And so I would lean towards becoming as good a ball handler as you can, but in short order, becoming a great shooter second.
Nice.
If you could tell yourself something when you're 12 years old, as you start your basketball journey, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, two things. Practice more. turn off the TV and practice more.
Or YouTube or...
yeah, or anything else. Because I practiced a lot, probably far more than most players. But I always thought, what if I would have started even sooner?
Mm.
What if I would have been even more dedicated even sooner? How good could I have become? And so I would have said, turn off the tube or turn off anything else, and do something every single day. And I played a lot, but to put in time every single day That's the first thing that I would say. The second is continue to look for better players to play and practice against.
Yeah.
That's the second. That's the second thing. But there's probably a third, and it might be the most important for a young player like yourself, Moses. It's really easy to ride the ups and downs of, oh, I had a great game. Oh, I had a poor game.
Yeah.
Oh, I shot the lights out. Oh, I missed everything and turned the ball over. And most players, I did this even through my first 2 years of college. I rode the waves of how I was playing any given day. And it wasn't until my third year of college, so it wasn't until my junior year in college, where I realized, do you know what? This is a journey. There are going to be great days. There are going to be bad days. There are going to be terrible days.
Right. Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of average days. And because anytime you have a great day, suddenly that becomes your new normal, and you expect that. But improvement never looks like a straight line up.
Yeah.
It never looks like a straight line up. You get a little bit better, but then you plateau. Sometimes you even dip. Especially if you play against better players, you'll likely dip a lot, but you're actually getting better and you don't know it. So if I could tell myself something as a 12-year-old, I would say, hey, just know it's a journey, and there's going to be good days, great days, average days, bad days, and terrible days, and don't sweat it. That's all part of the process.
Yeah, we talk about that about not having big ups and downs. It's like, just stay even. It's just, like you said, it's a journey. It's like, some days are going to be great. Some days you're not going to be able to, you know, hit anything. But it's just, it's just part of being human, right?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Definitely.
You got it.
Well, how can we connect with you on social media and websites and emails? And all, like, how can we connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyone can visit our website at pgcbasketball.com, pgcbasketball.com, and can check out our 100 different camps that we're offering.
Nice.
Right across North America, and I think 20 or 25 plus states that we're in, plus Ontario and Canada. And so pgcbasketball.com is one, and then at pgcbasketball on any of our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at Mono Watsa on Twitter and Facebook as well. And that's ManoWatsa at Mono Watsa. And we just do our best to share as much good content as we can to help players and coaches.
That's awesome. Well, before that, you go, I have one last question I wanted to ask. I was kind of like, you know, kind of keeping it in the back of my mind, but I thought, hey, there are probably other parents that want to know this as well. So what is the difference, if you can explain, what is the difference between like PGC and Playmaker?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Playmaker College 1 course is for players 7th to 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
and that's really our foundational course for players to learn what we call winning habits.
Okay.
All the habits that good players know that coaches don't have time to teach.
Okay.
That course, the Playmaker College 1 course, is also the course we put a huge focus on teaching players what I call self-governance. And that is, how do you develop self-discipline, responsibility, initiative, all of those qualities that that are essential for a player becoming a standout player and standout student. And so that's the Playmaker College 1 course, Winning Habits. And then the Playmaker College 2 course is open to incoming freshmen and high school players and college players. And that course is all around being a playmaker and specifically learning how to create opportunities for yourself and teammates and learning how to read the defense. And we spend a lot of time on pick and rolls as well and developing the mental approach that every good player possesses. So that's the Playmaker College 2. And then you move on to the Point Guard College course.
Yeah.
The Point Guard College course is really focused on learning how to think the game. Players, there's not a focus on skills, not a focus on habits. All of those are taught in our Skills Academy courses and our Playmaker College courses. But the Point Guard College is really, once you've learned everything there is to know about the game, then you go to that course and have your mind blown and learn how to
nice.
You learn how to think the game and how to lead a team.
Nice.
And so you learn how to communicate effectively with your team, and it's really a preparation for playing at the highest levels of play.
That's very cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this. We're going to leave all the contact information in the liner notes and everything. But, Mano, thank you so much for jumping on this podcast with us.
Yeah, Troy and Moses, my pleasure. And Moses, just so impressed with what you've done with these episodes, with your dad. I think this is just a great, great thing that you're doing. And I can only imagine how much you're learning from all the interesting people that you've already interviewed and will continue to do so with your podcast. So I wish you all the best, Moses, with your career. And we're certainly looking forward to having you at a Playmaker College One Course camp this summer. I know you're going to benefit. And I would love to hear from both of you and hear how your experience was once you get back from the camp.
Definitely.
Definitely
will. All right, so we'll thank you again so much, and thank you for hopping on, and we'll talk to you after we do Playmaker College.
I appreciate it. We'll look forward to it. Thanks, Troy. Thanks, right. Moses.
Thanks. All
right. Next up, tune in to see us talk about, is Trey Young a must draft or a bust draft? See you there.
Thanks for listening to the Hoop Chalk Basketball Podcast at hoopchalk.com.